Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus fed 5,000 people to the full with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, which he miraculously multiplied. The meaning of the feeding of the 5,000 is that Jesus Christ is the bread of life come down from heaven for the life of the world. The miracles that Jesus did are signs pointing to him and showing us something about who he is and what he has come to do. The miracles are not ends in themselves. They all point to something, some meaning that we are to grasp. And so, one of the things that the people did not grasp is who Jesus is and what he has come to do. What does giving them food to the full in a miraculous way say about who Jesus is for us? Well, it says that they followed him in our text. It says of the people, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on those who were sick. What is this? This is not necessarily faith. This is enthusiasm, enthusiasm that is brought about by spectacular activity that people didn't see. In other words, miracle fever had taken hold of these people, and they were willing to walk all the way around the Sea of Galilee to find Jesus in order to see if he will do more miracles. Now, you might say that this is a kind of faith, and in a way, it's a kind of faith, but it is a faith based on enthusiasm or fanaticism. It is a faith that is all stirred up in the emotions, and such faith often evaporates when the excitement wears off, right? If you are the kind of person that needs to be perpetually excited in order for you to maintain your discipleship and your commitment to Christ, then there is something wrong with your spiritual life, all right? Spiritual strength and zeal for the Lord is not about your feelings and your emotions. It's not about getting caught up in the excitement of the moment, but it is the regular ministry of the word and sacraments by which the Holy Ghost constantly applies God's grace to our lives, and we live day by day in the peaceful and quiet trust that he is the one come into the world for the life of the world, and that means for the life of me. So these people, when they get their fill, they say, hey, a guy who can do this kind of stuff would make a great king. We can install him in a castle, and he can be flinging out bread loaves for the rest of our lives. This guy, we need to have this guy in office for us. Jesus perceives that they are about to lay hold upon him, to snatch him, and to forcefully make him their king. Jesus wants nothing to do with some secularized, power-driven, fanaticism-driven zeal for God, which always burns out. And so he withdraws himself from them, all right? Later on in the 6th chapter, and by the way, you would all do well this week to read the entire sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, because this event gave birth to a long conversation that is very instructive. So anyway, I suggest to you that you read John chapter 6 this week and pay careful attention to what it says. All right, so now we've talked about the crowd that received. And notice, Jesus feeds them even though their faith is far from perfect. He feeds them because he wants them to know that he is what they need for their life with God. Just like with us, we are hearing this story today from the Word of God so that we may take assurance in the fact that he is our life. He is our standing with God. He is our Redeemer. All right. So anyway, the second thing that we want to notice in our passage is there is a brief note in verse 4. A brief note in verse 4, it says, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." Now, this Passover that's soon going to come up in the Gospel of John, this Passover is the Passover exactly 1 year before the one where Jesus was crucified. All right? So the Passover, when John mentions the Passover here, it immediately makes his readers think of two things. Number one is the Passover at which Jesus was crucified, and John the Baptist, who in the first chapter of John's Gospel bears witness to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." What is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? This takes us back into the book of Exodus, where God is about to inflict the final 10th plague on the land of Egypt. He is about to slay all of the firstborn in Egypt, among people and among animals. And so he commands Moses to tell the people of Israel, now pay attention to this, to kill a lamb, right, and offer it as a sacrifice, to take the blood of the lamb and to smear it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they are. So they are to dip the brushes in the blood of the lamb, and they are to dunk, 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 dunk. And if you think that's an accident, you're in ABC land when it comes to the Bible. Do you understand what God was doing? This, all right? The sacrifice of the Passover lamb in the Old Testament was a type and a shadow fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So when John mentions the Passover here, he takes his reader's attention right into the Old Testament, and he's showing us, you remember that celebration of the Passover in the Old Testament? Yeah, Jesus is that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, St. Paul says it, "For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Let us therefore keep the feast." Let's celebrate because we have the once for all sacrifice that avails forever before God, the blood of Jesus, which cleanseth us from all sin. All right, that's the second thing that I wanted to say. And the other thing has to do with the use of bread, right? So Jesus says to Philip, "Where are we going to get enough bread to feed all these people?" And Philip is exacerbated by the question. He says, "Even if we had half a year's salary at hand, we couldn't buy enough bread to give everybody a little tiny taste." So Philip Philip doesn't quite measure up here in terms of strength of faith, right? And then Andrew comes along, and Andrew's a little bit better. You know, Andrew is like hopeful. And he says, oh, there's a little kid here, and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But then Andrew says, but what are they among so many? What are they among so many? And Jesus says, make the men sit down. In other words, get them ready for supper. Right? That's how Jesus responds. When he says, make the men sit down, the word sit down is the word to recline at table. All right? It's the word you use when you're inviting people to the dinner table. All right? And so he says, make the men sit down. He's getting everybody ready for supper. And then he takes the bread and he gives thanks and he breaks it and he gives it to the disciples. And all of a sudden, the bread never stops. And all of a sudden, the fish never stops. These little smoked fish that people would eat. They never stopped until everybody was filled. And when everybody was filled, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers after everyone had eaten to the fill. What is this? Jesus is the bread of life, sent down from the Father for the life of the world. I want to show you something from later on. He says to the people, they talk about the manna from heaven. How in the Old Testament, God fed the Israelites every day with the manna. And they said, you know, that would be a good thing for you to feed us every day like Moses fed us every day with the manna from heaven. Jesus says this, listen. Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father is giving you the true bread from heaven. You didn't get the bread from heaven from Moses, the law. You did not get God's grace from keeping the law. But my Father is in the present, right now, my Father is giving you the true bread from heaven. And then he says, for the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they say, oh, give us this all the time, they say. And he says, I am the bread of life. If you believe in me, you have eternal life. To eat the bread of God is to believe in Jesus Christ, the one sent into the world for the life of the world. The bread of God is the food of eternal life. It is Jesus himself, the light and life of God. And to eat it means to believe in Jesus, the light and life of the world, and therefore to have life everlasting. Now, there's a lot more that is said in the text, but I thought a good way to bring this to a close today is to see that after this whole conflict that takes place in the light of this miracle, a lot of Jesus' disciples said, we can't take this guy anymore. He's getting a little bit crazy with the things that he's saying about himself. And so many of his disciples left him and no longer went with him. And so Jesus comes to the 12 and he says to the 12, are you guys gonna go away too? Are you gonna desert me too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's where we are as we come to the end of today's presentation of God's Word, which focuses our minds on the fact that apart from the true bread which came down from heaven for the life of the world, which is Jesus Christ, and apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we have no life from God. But when we, like the disciples, remain steadfast in what God's word teaches, he says, we believe and we are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the faith that we want to live in. This is the faith that we want to die in. The faith, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The very reason John wrote his gospel, that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.